It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC in the Newark, New Jersey metro area and worldwide at WABCbizradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. This show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders from all types of industries and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, real estate, leadership, strategic planning, retail, communications, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, hiring, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid takeaways to get you ahead in today's business world. As we do each week, we open with some thank you. Special thank you to the show's producer, Pesach Trapper. Thank you. Also, special thank you to the team at Bottom Line Marketing Group, Rena, Ellie, Srilly, Miriam, Dina. Thank you. And to the great team here at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin. Thank you very much. Also, special mention and thank you to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV. In fact, the episode we have with Dawn Fay, District President at Robert Haft Incorporated, is up on C-Suite TV. The YouTube channel, the Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, all the videos are up, roughly 20 of them, from the nearly 90 episodes on this radio program. Of course, on iTunes, Audio Boom, you could find it. You go to Mind Your Business, it will come up. Special thank you to some recent guests. Last week we had the folks from Senior Planning Services and talking about preparing for a loved one, the financial planning, and navigating the complicated world of the Medicaid system. Before that, Jay Buxbaum, Executive Vice President of Marketing at Royal Wine Corporation. And some of our recent guests include David Colby, CEO of the Colby Corporation, Captain Sully Sullenberger, needs no introduction, Jason Robinson, Director of Marketing at UPS, Todd Magazine, President of Blink Fitness, James Rosebush, former Senior Advisor of President Ronald Reagan and author of True Reagan. And so many incredible guests, Jack Canfield, Brian Solis, Dr. Adrienne Boise, Chief Experience Officer at the Cleveland Clinic, Dan Sullivan, President of Strategic Coach, Steven Sato, former CEO of Saks Fifth Avenue. And very soon we are going to have the incredible interview with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and the present CMO at RX Advance. Now, without further ado, I'm going to get to my very special guest this evening, Keith Mestrich. I hope I said that right.
You got it.
Amazing. Keith is the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank, the world's largest B Corp certified bank. Amalgamated Bank was founded 94 years ago, big celebration coming up in a couple years, and today has 14 branches nationwide. Keith has 25 years experience with the labor movement, nonprofit advocacy groups, and political organizations. Keith has also extensive experience in the financial sector and served as CFO for Service Employees International Union, which of course is known as SEIU out there in the world. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss why your bank's values should align with your own, the effect of the new Trump administration on the banking industry, and how a large company can stay true to its original cause and principles. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Keith Mestrich. Keith, how are you?
I'm doing great, Yitzhak. It's nice to be here.
Thank you so much for joining me here. I just have to open up. Tell me about yourself. You're the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. This didn't happen overnight. What's your story?
Sure. So I grew up in a small town in South Dakota. My dad was a country doctor, was the only pediatrician for a 250-mile radius.
Wow.
But that's really where I got a good value set, because my dad was all about trying to think about how he could deliver on the mission of being a doctor and made sure that he could really live up to the you know, oath that he took, which was to be able to do no harm and deliver care to.
And people traveled for 4 or 5 hours
to come see the doctor, to go to the bank, to go to the store, see the dentist, meet with their banker.
I mean, in New York, it's hard to wrap my head around that concept. That's why I'm like so fascinated.
Right?
Yeah.
Wow. So from South Dakota, I went to school in Michigan and moved to Washington, D.C., where I thought I wanted to go change the world.
Okay.
A little bit. I ended up getting my first job as doing corporate research for the labor movement. I went to work for the AFL-CIO.
Mm-hmm.
And I had been a political science major in college. I'd never looked at financial statements at all. And all of a sudden, I was responsible for looking at the balance sheet and income statement of giant companies, small companies, public companies, private companies. And I really learned a lot. And I learned a lot about how finance is really a lot about what makes the world go around. And even if you wanted to really understand what made a company tick, it was the key financial statements that told you an awful lot about a company's strategy and a number of other things.
But it's fascinating. You went to college for political science.
Exactly.
And then you had a fascination and love for the numbers.
I really ended up getting to know the numbers. That then took me into a different realm in the labor movement. I spent a lot of time thinking about the finance and administrative side. Mm-hmm. And lots of our union clients and nonprofit clients, those are really undervalued skills. Got some real ability to and facility with the numbers in the nonprofit sector. And then a few years ago, was fortunate enough to have the opportunity to come work for the bank that really serves labor, politics, nonprofit community, and bring that skill set to the bank as we've tried to really become a financial ally and a financial partner to that community.
Now, as you just mentioned, you have a lot of experience in the financial sector and in philanthropy. How has your prior work helped you for your position now as a CEO and president of Amalgamated?
So Amalgamated is a bank that really serves a unique niche. We serve the thousands and thousands of labor unions across the country, the advocacy groups, the nonprofit organizations, philanthropies, social enterprises, a real specific niche that no other bank focuses and concentrates on. And while we have some specialized products and services that mm-hmm. we offer to people that speak to that community, mm-hmm. what we really have is we have bankers who've come out of that community that understand the unique financial needs that our customers face. The financial needs of a human needs delivery organization or a labor union or a political campaign are really quite different than a hospital or a small business or a convenience store or another financial corporation. It's a different mentality. It's a different bottom line, if you will. And our ability to have lived in that world and truly understand how the finances are constructed from the bottom up, I think, gives us a real advantage over other banks.
It's so special when you meet a business that knows its clientele and kind of lives and breathes it, as opposed to just, okay, we'll take on anyone that knocks on our doors. Oh, I'm sure you're open for anyone that knocks on the door. I don't want to take that away. But those that you service know that it's in your blood. It's your passion.
It's really true. A good example that we look to and try and model ourselves after a lot of times is the company USAA. A lot of people know that USAA is a bank and an insurance company that really focuses on former service members and their family. They understand the unique needs that clientele has. That's what we do with our clientele as well. And it really makes a difference, and it's a good business plan,
right.
And it means that we have a real future.
Right. Now, Amalgamated has an extremely unique banking model. Perhaps you can explain it for our audience.
Sure. So we came out of the labor movement. We were started in the 20s to really meet some of the unique financial needs that working people had at that time, which was banking was largely the purview of the rich. So right. We were a place where right. they could actually have a savings account and be able to earn some interest and keep their money in a safe place. And the single greatest challenge that working people had in the 1920s was, how did they send money back home to their families in sort of war-ravaged Europe, either to support their families or actually help bring them to America as well.
Right.
And our bank, along with some other financial institutions, invented what ultimately became the foreign remittance system. And it was just focusing on the unique needs that people had at that time. We do the same today, and we try and focus very much on the unique needs of our clientele. Story I like to tell is we have political clients. Political clients have a real unique need to be able to wire money much later in the day than other organizations can, because if you're going to buy a television ad, you have to pay for it on the front end, because once it's run, there's no getting it back. So for our political clients, we have a real concierge banking kind of service that says, we understand that you have that real need, and we'll make ourselves available for as long as the Fed's wire window is open so that we can provide that service. Unions is another good example. The financial model that unions face today is really under attack by the Trump administration and Republican governors around the country. And we've developed ways to take the best organizing technology, marry it with the best payments processing technology, and provide the labor movement with a product that really meets the needs to address the financial challenges that they're doing. It's that kind of understanding of our clientele that allows us to develop the kinds of things that no other bank would do for them.
Now, the next question you've addressed it, but just to ask it straight up, Amalgamated Services, individuals, organizations, you service both. Is there any approach, any fundamental difference in the way you approach a massive organization versus an individual, or just that's kind of standard the way everyone needs to be serviced?
It's a very different model. Big institutions, organizations, businesses just deal in such a much more significant volume than our individual consumers do. You're an individual banking customer.
Right.
You put your paycheck in twice a month.
Right.
You pay 10 to 12 bills a month. Then you use your ATM card to get cash or to make point-of-service transactions.
And that's the extent.
That's what most people do for their commercial banking. Mm-hmm. You might have some investments and do some of that. Commercial institutions process hundreds, if not thousands, of payments every day. They make lots of deposits. It's a very mechanized business, and we have to deal with it in a very, very different way. But for us, the key thing is a very high level of customer attention and customer service. And it doesn't matter if you're our smallest customer or one of our biggest customers. That's a differentiator for us.
That is beautiful. I mean, when you talk about customer retention, that's such a hot subject out in the world, and we know how people are human. They always think the grass is greener on the other side. But when you when any company has a high level of retention, that means they're doing more than something right.
We see it with some of our competition is that they don't really value some of the smaller clients that we have. They want only big relationships. And you'll hear the argument, well, why would I do a $50,000 loan when it's just as much work to do a $5 million loan? Why should I put the time and energy into that? And we don't take that approach. We really try and make sure that our customers, regardless of their size, get the same level of attention that the largest customers get. Do the largest customers maybe get a little bit extra? Probably, but
right.
We really try and make sure we treat everybody special.
They deserve it. They do. Now, it's interesting. We usually don't think of banks as political entities. However, we touched on it. Why is it important for a bank that's politically aligned with a particular party, if you will, to kind of state that and discuss it openly and align themselves with that party?
Yeah. Finance can really be such a force for good. Nothing happens in this country or the world if it doesn't have resources and dollars behind it. And it's shocking how few leaders there are in the financial community. And somebody told me that. They said, try and name 10 people in the banking industry or the financial service industry that you really think of as leaders. And it's a challenge.
No,
I know more than others, but a lot of people probably could name very, very few people. We think it's really important that we live the value set that our customers expect of us and try and carry out on their own. And therefore, we don't hesitate to both celebrate the work that our customers do and hold it up as the kind of paragons of leadership that many of our customers' leaders really, truly are. But we also believe that we have to live the same value set in what they do. So we put a great deal of emphasis on making sure that our bank is staffed in as diverse a way as it possibly can. We think it's important that for being a bank that provides services to the labor movement, that we were the first bank to raise its minimum wage to $15 an hour. We were proud of that. We didn't just do it ourselves. We challenged the rest of the financial industry to do the same thing. We're really proud to stand up and say we are the second bank in the country to make a carbon-free pledge, and we think other banks should do the same thing. We live that value set, and we think it's important to be leaders and things that the rest of the community can really look to for leadership in that regard.
Now, just staying on the topic of politics, Amalgamated Bank has some extremely prestigious clients. Is it fair to say that there's some affiliation with the DNC? Or
the Democratic National Committee and most of the Democratic electoral infrastructure are clients of the bank. We were incredibly proud to bank not just Hillary Clinton for president, but part of the Bernie Sanders operation as well.
Wow.
We have hundreds and hundreds of candidates for office and sitting office holders. We bank most of the Democratic senators in the country right now. We bank Democrats. That's who is allied with our institution.
Mm-hmm.
There's another bank that does Republicans. You can have them on one day. we are aligned and very proud to do that business.
Wow. Now, I'm not going to ask you how it was dealing with the Clinton campaign and the Sanders campaign. You mentioned that here on the air, but that's it's fascinating. It also is really a testament to Amalgamated, the level of trust that there is.
Not just trust, but as a small bank, or I call us a big small bank, we're mm-hmm. a $4 billion institution.
Wow.
Bank of America is a $1 trillion institution, just to give you some difference in the size and scale. But the velocity of payments that happen on a modern political campaign, both incoming contributions and outgoing expenses, is mind-blowing.
Yeah,
and it is a 24/7 operation. And I won't lie to you. I was a little nervous on our ability to deliver on it when we got the account. But we stepped up to the plate, and we never missed a payment. We never had the kinds of things it does. And I'm really proud of the people who work for the bank that they were able to do that. It's a real testament to the people. It's not a testament to me or to the bank. It's a testament to the people who do the work every day, that they care enough that they wanted to be able to succeed in making that sure that that campaign had all the services that they needed.
My guest this evening is none other than Keith Mestrich. He is the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank, the world's largest B Corp certified bank. What is a B Corp certified bank?
Sure, B Corp is a benefit corporation, and B corporations are a community around the country of businesses from all different walks of life, if mm-hmm. you will, all different kinds of industries that run their affairs in a particular way, making sure that they treat their employees with the utmost regard, that they care about the environment, and they take steps to make sure that there's good recycling practices, mm-hmm. carbon use practices, other things. A real commitment to making sure that women and people of color have opportunities for advancement in the company, and that governance of the company is transparent and respondent not just to pursuing the bottom line, but making sure that the planet we live on is a better place to live. So there's a couple of thousand in B Corps around the country. We are thrilled to be one. We're not the only bank. There's other banks. There's other great banks, but we're the largest financial institution to carry the B Corp moniker in this country.
You're tuned to Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Do you own a small business? Do you want free access to the biggest business networking event of the year? Check out the Small Business Expo. It's free to attend, featuring more than 25 workshops, panel discussions, networking opportunities, and over 100 exhibits, including Vistaprint, Bank of America, Progressive, and Zip Local. There's something for everyone at the Small Business Expo. Join us at the New York City Small Business Expo at the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center on Thursday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register free today at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? And does it have the 2016 look? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500-SENIORS. That's 516-500-7364. Or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC in the Newark, New Jersey metro area and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. Just in case you're just tuning in now, no worries. On the Tuesday following the airing of this show, this entire episode will be available at WABCBizRadio.com, and that's the website that has all past episodes. The one we have with Jeffrey Hazlett, also of South Dakota, just comes to mind. But they're all available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, my guest is none other. What an honor and a treat. Keith Maestrich. He is the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. We're now discussing the idea about political campaigns, and of course, that's just an exciting area. Actually, my firm had worked on a number of political campaigns. One of the most famous ones was the Bloomberg for Mayor,
sure.
who happened to be on that team. They're very intense. And like you, like Keith alluded to before, especially in today's day and age, with the online component and people texting their donations, perhaps what are some of the other areas that Amalgamated extends themselves for a political campaign and differentiates themselves that they're able to service the demands of a political campaign?
Sure. So there's a couple of things. One is, in this era, it's not just a political campaign is no longer just the campaign itself. There's super PACs and there's 501c4 organizations that get formed and there's ad hoc campaigns that come up all the time that raise their own money, make their own expenditures, independent of the campaign operation itself. There's been an explosion of those kinds of organizations. Oftentimes they get formed and need a bank account the next day. Many banks are going to want to see very traditional articles of incorporation or other documents to open them. Right. We're very comfortable, but just because we have so much experience with it, that we'll take the formation documents that an entity like that files with the Federal Election Commission. And just having that familiarity allows us to open bank accounts and get those operations up and running very, very quickly. And it's incredibly appreciated by our folks, our customers. I think the other thing that's just really important, though, is that, as you said, these campaigns are hectic. They're crazy. They just move at a
intense
pace. They move
very
at a
intense
pace that nobody else can really anticipate. And we have bankers that know how to run at that pace, and we can keep up with them, and we can run at that pace. And that means we can fix a lot of their problems for them, and do it in a way that requires heavy manual intervention, if you will. But our folks really do that, and they really focus in on that work, and it makes a real difference.
And just from, again, my firm having some level of experience in political campaigns, the filings, and people just don't realize what goes on behind the scenes in a political. They just see the candidate out there on national television, or depending on the campaign, if it's a federal election or if it's a local race, city, state, federal, of course, are you know, political campaigns. And you service all of them, correct?
We do. And now that we've been doing it for a while, people know that we do it really well. And so we don't really have to hustle that much for business anymore. It comes our way a lot,
gotcha.
which is a really rewarding thing as a CEO of a company.
And of course, 17 is a big year for New York City politics.
17 is a big year for New York City politics. It's a big year for Jersey politics,
right?
It's a big year. And they're all big years now. Because the fundraising cycle for the modern political campaign is not the 4 months before an election anymore. Our clients who just had an election in November are already raising money again, and you'll see it's a constant financial circle now. I don't know if that's good or bad for the country, but we as a bank are there able to offer that service for people and really meet their needs. Here's an interesting thing.
Sure.
Senate campaigns now go on really fundraise for the entire 6 years of the cycle. Well, if you're raising money for 6 years, we are actually now starting, believe it or not, to offer investment services for Senate campaigns.
That's so
that
smart.
They don't just keep their money in the bank anymore. They actually think about what are some good, solid, safe vehicles that might allow the campaign, who's going to raise money 6 years out but not going to spend a whole lot of it.
Right.
Can you actually take those resources and make them grow in a little bit better way? The kind of things that banks are supposed to do for people. And we've figured out how to do that for some of our most special and important and unique clients.
And it's such a great point, because I think Senate is the only one that's the longest cycle, right? There's nothing longer than a six-year cycle. I don't believe so.
I think that's right. Yeah. Governors are two or four.
Four.
House members
right,
are two.
General four had two.
City council is two.
Or four, right, depending on which area,
yeah,
et cetera.
Exactly.
Wow. Let's talk, once we're staying on federal laws, and let's talk about the complicated Dodd-Frank
sure.
laws. Can you explain to our audience what is that all about?
Sure. So Dodd-Frank was the legislation that was passed in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, when everybody remembers the global financial markets melted down and almost had a major worldwide, not just recession, which we had, but depression. And it was a significant market crash. Embarrassing to say, but largely caused by the financial industry. And the Dodd-Frank legislation was put in place to address some of the worst abuses that occurred in that, and both in terms of how consumers were treated, particularly in the area of mortgages, where mortgages were really just running out of control. And Dodd-Frank put a lot of changes in place to address some of those issues. And Dodd-Frank tried to address the issues for these very, very, very large financial institutions that now are referred to as the too big to fail financial institutions.
Right.
To put protections in place to make sure that those banks were adequately capitalized and could okay. deal with a crisis that might happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And to figure out how people were thinking before a crisis happened, how to actually unwind those companies. That's largely what Dodd-Frank did. And it's been a huge success. The American financial system is so much safer and better off in 2017 than it was in 2009. And we need to remember that. It was a hugely important law that's been a huge and important success. And most people in the financial industry will acknowledge that.
Hmm. So now turning to the new Trump administration, they began rolling back such laws. What's your opinion on that and how will it affect clients?
So the Trump administration issued an executive order instructing the Secretary of the Treasury to take an examination of Dodd-Frank and other bank regulation and figure out were there things that were harming or slowing down our economy. I think one of the most unfortunate things that has happened in this result is that smaller banks like ours have been held up as a reason to undermine the Dodd-Frank legislation that was passed, saying that the burden on small banks has been tremendous. It's the biggest lie being perpetrated in Washington. The Dodd-Frank law was an important law that established important consumer protections. It has not been a tremendous compliance burden for banks our size. Quite the opposite. We look to it and try and sometimes and figure out what are these major compliance issues that people are talking about, and we just don't see them. This is a law that was largely meant at making sure the largest financial institutions took steps to make sure that they cannot bring the economy down. We can't undermine that law. It's an important law to keep in place. Is it perfect? No, of course it's not perfect. Healthcare law wasn't perfect either, right. But we shouldn't, just like the American people realized we didn't really want to get rid of Obamacare, the American people don't want to get rid of important financial regulation that was placed on the financial institutions either. And we need to have that important debate, and we'll see what happens. But our bank plans to make sure that we make our voice heard on this issue and try and be a little bit of a truth teller in the debate. And maybe we can get a constructive piece of legislation out that will address some of the issues.
Hmm. I shouldn't ask how often you're down in Washington.
I actually live in Washington, so I'm down there. I'm down there every week. Our bank has a significant presence in the Washington, D.C. area, as you might guess.
Yes.
And I spend about half my time in Washington, half my time here.
Wow. Now, we know that banks in general are, we'll put it mildly, sometimes a bit difficult to navigate. Amalgamated Bank is seemingly an exception to that rule. Why is that? Did that happen even before you joined? Was that enacted once you joined?
Look, banking can be an absolutely arcane business, and it can be very difficult to understand. People have a pretty simple idea of what they want their finances to look like and what kind of transactions they need to conduct with their bank. We need to make it easy for them. We're on that journey to make banking easier for people to understand. we're not all the way there yet. It's a constant source of improvement that we'll need to do. But we are working on making sure that our website is easier to navigate. I've talked several times about how important it is that our people are there as guides to help people get through the system. People just want their bank to work. That's right. The most important thing. Right. We need to make sure that it works, and that when it doesn't, we figure out how to fix it quickly in a transparent way, so that people know that we're there to deal with their frustrations. Not everybody does what we do and deals with financial transactions on an everyday basis. People buy a house only once or twice in their entire lives. We need to make sure that that we help them through that process. We do it every day. They don't, and we have to remember that. And I think that's good guidance for the entire financial industry.
Now, I hope it's okay, Keith, to ask you this question. How important is transparency in the world of banking?
Yeah, I mean it's hugely important. We have a new relationship that we're trying with some of our large organizations that have members or donors, or things, and we're saying we'd like to develop an affinity banking product with you, so that let's pick the Sierra Club, an organization mm-hmm. that a lot of people know out there doing the daily work protecting our environment and mm-hmm. and our natural resources. Well, people join the Sierra Club for all the reasons that they believe in the mission mm-hmm. of that organization. So we could work with an organization like the Sierra Club. And we could sort of say, hey, if your members open a bank account with us, one of the things we'll say is to you, Sierra Club, this is about what our profit looks like. We're going to share a portion of it with you. And we're going to give part of what we would normally make as a donation to the Sierra Club. So somebody could join up in a Sierra Club bank account, same as any other bank account that they could get. The only difference is, behind the scenes, part of what's happening is a regular donation back to an organization they care about and love. That's a transparent relationship between us and the club. That's a transparent relationship between us and our customers. We think that that's smart business, because we think then the Sierra Club is doing the business development work for the bank. So it's transparency gains us a lot of credibility with our customers, and it gets them more bought into what we're doing and wanting to work with us.
The voice that you hear is none other than Keith Maestrich. He is the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank, and has taken from his very hectic schedule to join us here on Mind Your Business. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. Team Ahead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. Team Ahead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807 extension 3505 or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com. That is csuitenetwork.com to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-Suite executives like you.
Are you applying for Medicaid and need assistance? Are you thinking about putting a loved one in a nursing home and require guidance? Call Senior Planning Services at 516-500-SENIORS or visit senior-planning.com to get the help you need by the professionals you trust. Their expert advice will save you money, time, and frustration. Call 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com. Applying for Medicaid is made simple with Senior Planning Services. Call 516-500-7364. 500 seniors. That's 516-500-7364 or visit senior-planning.com for a free consultation.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saftis right here on 77 WABC. My guest this evening is none other than Keith Maestrich, president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. And of course, you can find out more about the bank by going to amalgamatedbank.com. That's amalgamatedbank.com. And of course, they have a variety of services. And of course, in today's day and age, they have actually a very intuitive app. So, you know, it certainly is the conveniences that someone would come to expect from a bank are all there with Amalgamated Bank. Before I go to some other interesting ideas, perhaps you could share with the listeners of Mind Your Business, are there any initiatives, anything that's going on, you know, let's say here in the New York area in particular, that your bank is proud of and would like to share?
Sure. Let me talk about a couple of things that we're doing in the housing area. One is, there's a housing crisis in places like New York or Washington or San Francisco, and it's one that people don't always think about. People think about the fact that we're building a ton of luxury houses that doesn't speak to people of working class means. People think about the homeless, and they think about the poorest of the poor and the need to provide public housing for them. It's all important things that we should be doing. But there's this piece in the middle, which is for people who live in communities and make, you know, working class wages, people like cops and firefighters and teachers. They oftentimes don't have enough income to be able to live in the communities where they work, especially not expensive places like Manhattan or San Francisco or Washington, D.C. And so they end up living, you know, a long way away. It means they're not part of the community. It means when there's a snowstorm like there was last week here in New York City, teachers actually have a hard time getting into the school system, even if the school system is open, because they've got long commutes and other things. It creates real practical problems, and it creates real problems of just not having our public servants living in our same communities. So we have been working to establish some programs that actually try and address this housing need, and are working to build a program that would allow us to actually finance that kind of construction around the company. So we're raising money for that in an investment fund, and are ultimately looking to deploy those resources to invest in those kinds of projects. So that's one thing that I'm really excited about. The other thing that we're doing in the housing market crosses between our work on affordable housing and our work on clean energy, and that's that we've actually taken our home equity line of credit, a very technical kind of loan that gives people some dollars that they need to do home repair, and we've actually specifically tailored it so that people who want to put solar panels on their roofs, but are in lower and moderate income range, have the resources to be able to do that. And it's a product that really works, that gives people, it's specifically designed to do what we call our solar HELOC, to be able to do that. And we're working with a company that installs those using unionized members of the IBEW to do the installations here in the New York metro area. And it's a really special product to make sure that people at the low and middle income strata can actually be part of the clean energy movement.
You know, that must be so special, because it also ties into your beliefs about helping the environment.
It ties into our beliefs about helping the environment, and it ties into the belief of making sure that our union members who are transitioning from the old economy to the new economy have avenues for work to be able to.
And this one, you're scoring on multiple points. It's like really special.
That's triple bottom line kind of notion, if you will. It's great.
Now, let's talk about the world of nonprofit organizations. It seems that many banks, I don't know how should I say it, but they don't bend over backwards for nonprofits. I guess that's a safe way of putting it. Amalgamated does. Why is that, and how do you roll out the red carpet for nonprofits?
Yeah, our mission is really based in the work that we've done for the 94 years that we've been around, which is making sure that organizations who are helping people, organizations that are doing good, we think we can take friction out of the financial system to let them do better. And so that's just part of who we are. That's the core business that we focus on. We could be like every other community bank and try and bring in all the dollars around our branches. We could do that, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it wouldn't make us special. What makes us special is that we cater to the unique needs that advocacy and nonprofit organizations have. Lots of banks don't want that business. Lots of banks only want business if it's going to come with lots of lending opportunities from their customers. Lots of nonprofits don't borrow a lot of money. So we really focus on making sure that their relationship from a deposit basis, a treasury management basis, and when necessary, a lending basis is something that we can meet the needs of.
Now, you touched on this earlier. When preparing for the show, there was a line here that you not only are looking to help those who do good, But in fact, the way you say it, you say you help those who do good do better.
That's right.
How could you elaborate on that?
Sure. I think about our customers. Our customers might be people who are working to make sure that women's rights are protected in this country, or there might be organizations that are working to make sure that we have a clean environment, or they might be unions that are working to make sure that workers have good protection, safe workplaces, and adequate wages. Well, that's what they do. You know what they don't do? They don't think about how to do their bank transactions. Right. They don't think about the intricacies of having a line of credit that does things. They don't think about making sure that they maximize their ability to do their financial transactions as effectively and efficiently as possible. That's what we do. That's our area of focus. If we can really focus on that and alleviate our customers from having to spend lots of times thinking about it themselves, then I think we help them perpetuate the mission that they're actually trying to achieve.
And it's so true, because in their they're not professionals at that area. They're great at what they do, but they have to be able to turn to a financial institution that says, "Okay, watch my back. Make sure that on the financial side, I'm doing it right."
And that's what we try and do. And we really take it to heart that part of what we're doing, we're sort of mission agnostic in a way, if you will, right? We support the work of many, many of our clients. And it doesn't really matter what they're trying to achieve. If it's something that's to make this country and this planet a better place to live, and if we can help take that friction out of the service and make them do it just a little bit better, then we think we're not just accomplishing our mission, but we're helping them achieve theirs.
New York City, they started to roll out, I believe like 2 years ago, IDNYC, that every U.S. resident has a valid ID. I understand that the bank has a way of even facilitating that. How is that?
So we were the first bank in New York City to say that we would accept the municipal ID, the IDNYC, as a form of identification to open a bank account.
They didn't have to necessarily have the driver's license.
That's right. Usually we need a driver's license and a tax identification number for somebody to open a bank account. There's a lot of people that can't get a driver's license either. They don't drive. They might have some documentation issues. Transgender individuals have difficulty getting driver's licenses. People who are of certain ages have a hard time. The IDNYC is free. A driver's license costs money. It's one of the things. But here's why we did it. Because not having a bank account in this country is a terrible experience. Because when you don't have a bank account, there's all kinds of bad things that happen. So one, if you have a paycheck, you're subject to going to a check cashing service and spending a lot of money just to get the hard-earned dollars and wages that you've had. If you don't have a bank account, you can't pay your bills online, and you have to take a lot of time out of your day to go to Con Ed or to pay money to get a money order down at the post office or other ways that you might be able to pay bills. If you don't have a bank account, you can't take advantage of all the great online deals from Amazon.com and the different kinds of ways that you can pay, because if you don't have a bank account, you can't get the plastic. And there's more and more places that aren't even accepting cash nowadays. Right. And if you don't have a bank account, you can't get the plastic. So it's a really horrible thing. And we need to be as true as we can to making sure that banking services are available to everybody.
And therefore, the IDNYC is a great facilitator in that regard.
Great, great initiative by the de Blasio administration to do that. I mean, the mayor has been very dedicated to wanting to make sure that program's a success. Hundreds of thousands, I think millions of cards are now in circulation. Wow. And it's been a great service for the people of this community. We're glad to be a little part of making that a success. Mm.
Now, you touched on this earlier, and it's really special. You embraced the $15 minimum wage. And you were an outspoken proponent for that. And you didn't just talk about it. At the bank, any position from the, even ones that...
Interns all the way up.
Interns.
Interns make $15
an hour.
Yep.
And, wow. Yeah. I mean...
And here's why.
Yeah.
Because there's a dirty little secret in the banking industry. And that's that the average wage for a bank teller in this country is a little more than $12 an hour. This in an industry where everybody thinks about the people at the top and how much money they make. And it's an incredibly successful industry that has rewarded tens of thousands of people in a very, very lucrative way. But the average bank teller makes $12. The average. That means there's a lot that are below making $12 an hour in a wildly successful industry. And it's food service workers, and it's janitors, and it's the people who process transactions in the back office for us. Well, we need to share some of that wealth. If if the banking and financial services industry can't pay its people a living wage, then no industry really can. And we need to be – that's that leadership thing I was telling about. We need to be leaders and actually standing up and doing what's right. And that's what we do every day at the Amalgamated Bank.
Now, in an upcoming show that we're going to have here on Mind Your Business, I'm going to be speaking with John Scully. And I plan on discussing with him it's quoted that he once overheard a conversation between Steve Jobs and Bill Gates, and they were talking about that they felt they were doing it for a noble cause. Of course, they were working on the next big thing in the 80s and getting a computer on everyone's desk. But regardless of what field someone's in, how important is it for them to have a noble cause, to be passionate about what they're doing?
So Apple's a great company. It just is, right? They've iconic product, iconic American brand name. I'm going to guess that more people have a positive viewpoint of executives at Apple than they have of members of Congress or other things.
You don't want to get in trouble here.
We actually did a poll of progressive individuals and found that the two least respected positions in the country were members of Congress and bankers. And that sent a message to us that we actually have to think about how to do. But when you work for a company like Apple or an important brand name, I think you have an obligation to stand up and do what's right. And there's different interpretations of what's right, and that's subject to people thinking about what that is. But you have an obligation to be a leader. And people need to recognize that people do look to them to be role models, and people have to take that very, very seriously.
My guest this evening is none other than Keith Messrich, the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. And of course, you could find out more about this incredible operation that's been around for nearly a century, a big anniversary coming up in 6 years, amalgamatedbank.com, amalgamatedbank.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Do you own a small business? Do you want free access to the biggest business networking event of the year? Check out the Small Business Expo. It's free to attend, featuring more than 25 workshops, panel discussions, networking opportunities, and over 100 exhibits, including Vistaprint, Bank of America, Progressive, and Zip Local. There's something for everyone at the Small Business Expo. Join us at the New York City Small Business Expo at the Jacob K. Javits Convention Center on Thursday, May 11th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Register free today at thesmallbusinessexpo.com. That's thesmallbusinessexpo.com.
Hi, this is Yitzchak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzchak Saftlis right here on 77 WABC and around the world at WABCBizRadio.com. In case you're just tuning in now, no worries. I mean, you actually missed some really great content about the importance of dealing with a financial institution that's aligned with your views, whether it's politically or the various ways that people align their views. My guest this evening is none other than Keith Messrich, the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. And again, Keith, thank you for taking out of your precious day. I can't imagine the pressures you're under between shuttling between New York, Washington, and I thank you for taking time for joining me here.
It's a thrill to be here.
Thank you very much. Amalgamate is about to celebrate their 100th anniversary. How is it that a bank could stay true to its original core values over that length of time?
Because they matter. And it's not been hurt that we've had the same majority owner for our entire history. So our union was started by the Amalgamated Clothing Workers. That union's gone through mergers and changes as the industry that they represented workers in, which was the clothing industry, has changed dramatically in the last century. But they've been our owner for that entire time. And the union's mission is very much our mission. And so having that support from our ownership has been a key important piece of what's actually made us stay true to our roots.
Now, you touched on this earlier, and I happened to get my hands on some data here, which I found astonishing. Amalgamated has some statistics here regarding their employees, and if I may, I'm going to read them. 85% reported that they like working at Amalgamated, 86% want to stay there long term, and 88% believe that they're integral to the overall success of the bank. How in the world do you pull that off?
So those numbers are great. They're not good enough. They should be 100%.
He's not happy.
But we'll get there.
Wow.
We give our employees a lot of opportunity to get involved. So last weekend, a couple dozen of our employees spent part of their weekend on a Habitat for Humanity build day and a really great project, which was called Build for Unity. So it was a project building a multifamily housing project for communities that would be multicultural, multi-religious, multi-ethnic. When people get the chance to get out and do that, and they're not just volunteering on a project, but they're working with one of our customers and one of our partners, it's incredibly rewarding. I think we've also done a good job of being pretty transparent with the employees who work at the bank, so they know where we're going and they know the direction, and we're trying to get everybody moving in the same direction. So it's really not good enough for people just to report to work every day and start dealing with the inbox and dealing it. It's really important that people have a sense of where we're trying to get as a company. So I'm proud of those numbers. I'm thrilled. And the people who work at the bank are just so filled with energy and ideas and the kinds of things that just make the workplace great. I mean, it's really a family, and people like working there. I'm sure there's a few disgruntled people. There always are. But it's a good place to work because the work is so rewarding.
Now, a number of months ago, we had on this program Joe Hart. He is the CEO of Dale Carnegie, and we had a lengthy discussion about how to spot a star employee. Now, of course, they do training, etc. But from your spot, to be able to have the again in the high 80%. Combined, when employees are surveyed and they're that passionate and happy to be with a company, there has to be some pre-planning. You obviously have a great track record of spotting a star employee, meaning good employee has to be motivated, etc. But are there any tips you could share with the audience on how to spot that star?
So I really believe in challenging people to do more than they think that they can. And I'm proud that we promote a lot of people to be working in one job and do a different job in the bank. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but most of the times it really does, and people step up. Here's a thing that I think we've done really well. 2 years ago, when the first lady of the city of New York said that summer youth employment was a big initiative that she was going to be working on, our little bank committed to hiring 25 youth for summer jobs at the bank, paid them $15 an hour.
I was going to ask.
And we did that. What a great thing it's been for the bank, because we have found, you know, young kids who've gotten oftentimes their first professional work experience, either seniors in high school or college freshmen or sophomores. And we've got a half a dozen of them who are now working for us full time because they found out that it was not such a bad thing to work at a financial institution, and we found out that they could really do some great things. And so this is young women and young people of color who are getting their first opportunity to do things, and it's creating a real pipeline of talent for the bank. you start at the entry level, you give people an opportunity to do something, people step up to the plate and do things. And I think we've created a good culture where people we have an executive development program where people start the process by saying, what job do you want to have in the bank? And we put them on a pathway to actually get there. It's a lot of work. We can do it better than we are. We've got a task force of some of our most senior people thinking about how to do that even better so that we can grow our own internal talent so that people have really a pathway for advancement in the company.
I'm not going to ask offhand, but I'm sure you have some people that have been with the bank for decades.
I think we have one branch manager who just celebrated, I think, her 45th anniversary at the bank.
Wow. Keith, the time goes so fast here on radio. I can't thank you enough for joining me here on this edition of Mind Your Business. What final takeaways would you like to share with the audience of Mind Your Business?
It's really great to have been here and just tell some stories about the bank. And even over the last 45 minutes or so, as I've thought, I'm always just in awe of how much our bank does. And I hope people are motivated to maybe come visit our website or walk into one of our branches or come visit us, not just to do business with us, but to share ideas about how we can do what we do even better.
So special. That was Keith Mesrich, the president and CEO of Amalgamated Bank. Of course, you could find out more about them, amalgamatedbank.com, amalgamatedbank.com, or visit one of their many branches, certainly in the New York area, but nationwide. Stay tuned up next for Rita Cosby here on 77 WABC, and tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Safliff. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night from 11 until 12 for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Safliff has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night from 11 until midnight on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.